You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there. Listen to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great folks at LakersBall.com, go ahead and check out Ox 1947 today, complaining about the refs at LakersBall.com. Plus, also as well, the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, that is Laker Tom, and you can find Laker Tom today at Lakerholics.com, plus our good friend Jamie Sweet. He's got 5 things to say always at Lakerholics.com. Plus, you can go ahead and also support Joe's business in the Southern California area because you need your lawn transformed into something much nicer than you have now. And to do that, go ahead and check out SimBlades.com. That's SimBlades with the Y.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. If you can support them and give them a big shout out as well, that is sincerely appreciate it. And don't forget, go ahead and subscribe below Sean Grice today. He's not a scary guy. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button to know, what happens then when you subscribe? You get the latest notifications when we go live on the air, like our Halloween Eve special after the game. We'll go ahead and talk a lot of great things, and we might even be festive during that time. We'll go ahead and have that, but you won't get the notification unless you subscribe. So please go ahead and subscribe today on YouTube. We're so thankful for everybody that does subscribe, and we truly appreciate it. And keep going and supporting and doing all you can for us right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. We're already starting in the chat. The world's best Lakers chat is already starting. That's how you do an open, Joe. Didn't think I remember, but you did a good job trying. You did a good job trying indeed. Once again, though, the Lakers, unfortunately, heading into Minnesota with the league's worst record at 0-4. Would they go ahead and be able to get out of the slump? Unfortunately, that is a big no because Anthony Davis decided to sit down with lower back stiffness. But there was also rumors that Russell Westbrook would be coming off the bench. And sure enough, he did. The lineup was made changes. But it did not include Russell Westbrook. He did come off the bench, and the Lakers still, unfortunately, could not find enough offense in their half court. Still, just very disappointing. Mistakes down the stretch, turnovers all game long. They simply find a way to lose each and every time out. And once again, they did 111-102. They get beat by Minnesota. 22 turnovers. They did actually shoot better from three-point area. They did actually shoot 31%, so that's an improvement after the league's worst three-point shooting with Austin Reeves and Troy Brown Jr. both hitting from the three-point area. How did Russell Westbrook do? Well, for those Russell Westbrook supporters, they're going to probably say he did great with 18 points and 8 rebounds and 3 assists, but the detractors are going to say, hey, 5 turnovers, 5 fouls, and 50% from the line, and 6 of 17 from the field. He had one stretch in the second quarter where he was looking pretty good, but outside of that, really wasn't that effective overall. The Lakers, again, in the offense, the half-court offense, it was really just they can't muster enough points. LeBron can't do it all. It seemingly he had to at times, just times, 1-on-4, him going into the lane, 4 people coming down on him, 28 points still nonetheless, 4 steals, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Really solid game for him, even though, again, he was just doing some things all by himself. But when it came down to it, the Lakers in the paint, they just got really ransacked by Rudy Gobert. 22 points, 21 rebounds, 13 defensive and 8 offensive rebounds. Simply was just killing it in the paint. Even though the Lakers overall out-rebounded them, it's just at the critical times, Rudy Gobert was getting in their way and actually scoring the ball. Anthony Edwards chipped in with 29, really solid effort. He's really going to be on the up and up as far as him as a getting to be a star status, getting into a superstar status someday down the line. Could happen sooner or later because he really looked good today. Karl Anthony Towns, 21 points, chipped in as well. And again, the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Los Angeles Lakers 111-102. I got a full crowd on tap here for this evening's show, so hopefully you'll be able to join us. Love the chat room already. Thank you so much for joining us. First up is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today right there for you at LakerHolics.com. It is the number one Lakers blogger. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, great to have you back, my friend.
Thanks, Gerald. Always a pleasure to be here.
Even when the Lakers lose, I will say, though, that we are going to go ahead and do what we can to celebrate the Halloween on the Sunday evening show. So hopefully everybody will be part of that. But your thoughts on today's game? I just thought that, again, it was really hard for the Lakers to, with their NBA's worst offense, I really thought it was really difficult for them to go ahead and muster enough offense in the half court. Again, their jump shooting, their three-point shooting outside of Troy Brown and Austin Reeves was not effective. And Rudy Gobert on the inside was creating way too much havoc for them as well.
Well, yeah, you miss AD and you really find out a lot about the rest of the team. And it's kind of interesting because you could almost make an argument, and it'll be interesting to see how it works out. I thought that there were some good signs for the game, and I prefer to focus on the positive things of the game. I mean, we're 0-5, and it's eerily like last year where you just kept thinking, could this really, you know, still you're still in non-belief, and it lasted for a long time last year, longer for some of us like myself. But, you know, we're not losing games the same way. We're not and the difference, the real difference is the team is really playing pretty good defense. The truth of the matter is that we're just not as good as the other teams talent-wise, especially when it comes to size and shooting. Those are our two weaknesses. And even though we won the rebounds and we won the points in the paint, turnovers gave up 16 points in turnovers and then also 15-point differential and 3 points. And you know, that's the game. When they say that defense will keep you in the game, they're absolutely correct. And the Lakers announcers made the other good point, which is that when your offense sucks, your defense just has to be perfect to give you any chance to win. And obviously our defense wasn't perfect. I mean, Ant-Man is for real. And if you don't have some people of at least the same size to battle with Rudy, he's going to dominate underneath there. Their experiment of the two of them together, I think, is looking good. And a lot of it depends on Ant-Man. But they've got a good team, you know, and we were undermanned, but I thought we gave a good effort. It'll be interesting to see where our defensive rating is at the end of this. The thing that still screams at me as you look at the situation is the Lakers need to trade. Nothing's going to change between now and, you know, we're 0-5.
I will say Turner and Hield look good tonight.
The thing is, there are a lot of teams who will want these unprotected draft picks that are post LeBron and possibly post AD. And if you turn around and can get 3 starters maybe four rotation players, which is what the Lakers are trying to do. They're trying to do a multi-team trade because they like to get the best of everybody's. They like to get the best guy from the Pacers, the best two guys maybe, and then maybe the best guy from the Jazz and the best guy from the Hornets, something like that. They're trying to put together a deal like that so that they can exchange at least four players. And that'll dramatically upgrade the Lakers, you know. Right now, you know, I like the effort. I like that they fought and they got back. It was good to see Brown start to shoot. I think he has good potential. He's got size at least. Wendy and Gabriel continued to have, you know, it's interesting. Every single one of the starters was a negative plus minus. I mean, it's only a 9-point game. I mean, it's not like we were got creamed. But every one of the reserves who played was positive.
Except for Russ, who was a zero.
Oh, Russ was a zero. Well, that's at least not negative.
You fill in the blanks on that one.
You know, what's interesting about the Westbrook situation is we saw him alone a lot tonight, but we also saw him with LeBron a lot. And in both instances, I thought he was pretty effective. It's still the turnovers, the blown layups that frustrate you. And mostly, and it's really not Russ's fault, mostly it's the fact that he's just such a poor fit for the team and his salary is so big that we really could use the three players that we could replace him with. And I don't know what it's going to take to get Rob Pelinka to feel some urgency here, you know. I do think the Russ off the bench thing will work out. Now, without AD in there, Russ was pretty effective. And if he could just play under a little more control and frankly, just the same thing as LeBron. There was a period. What did we end up with three-point shooting? Does anybody have that real
31%.
Point? How many did we make? How many did we make?
Nine?
Okay, so then we ended up making three then, because early in the fourth quarter, we had not made a three in the second half after shooting fairly well in the first half. And we were only down 9 points in the three-pointer. So it's so hard to fight uphill like that. And, you know, and when you say they're going to return to the mean doesn't really matter until you get to 50, 60 games. By then, you know, you're going to have a lot of takes and makes. The Lakers need to trade. They need size. I think also, too, with AD, seeing AD, who promised 82 games and has now missed his first game out of the six, and seeing how we'd struggle against teams with size, I think a lot of that says that you have to, whatever you end up with in a trade has to go through, part of it has to start with the Indiana Pacers and Miles Turner. We need size. You know, we need size on defense, and we need a stretch center. Damian Jones should never be passed the ball unless he is standing all alone underneath the basket. I swear, it was shades of Kwame Brown.
You know it. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it's either you or Joe's going to say that.
What? Any Laker fan who, as long as we have been Laker fans, would immediately see the similarities. And I like Damian, but man, it's just hands of rock. You know, the fans were sort of behind Russ tonight, better than they've been before, even though he missed those threes. But the whole arena was laughing when he dribbled the ball off his knee out of bounds at that last play. You hate to see that. Hopefully, you know, I mean, there was a point in the game where he was playing so well, I was thinking that, you know, that's just terrible, because Pelinka's probably thinking, hey, man, maybe this will work. I'll wait until maybe they'll want to trade Kyrie for another expiring contract. Maybe they'd rather buy Russ out for 47 rather than Kyrie for 37 million or something crazy like that. You never know. Pelinka has not been on the phone. I think I would send somebody to his house to make sure he's alive, or the office, make sure he hasn't, you know, had a heart attack or something, or is laying unconscious somewhere. Because this team, I don't know what the record was. I know that there were only two teams in history that had made the playoffs after starting 0-4, and neither won a championship. The last time the Lakers started 0-4, they finished 17 and 17 win season. Now they're 0-5. The stats are going to be wonderful. You know, first thing I'm going to do when I get off the air is go check Stat News and see what the latest is for that. It's got to be, you know, how many games?
It's not good, Tom. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, how many games behind? How many games under 500 do you have to be? I mean, what's the record you're going to need to be able to even make the play-in tournament? You've got to at least win half your games, or pretty close to it. We'll be lucky to be 5-15 at the end of the first 20 games if Pelinka actually goes through with the current strategy and says he's going to wait till the end of November after Thanksgiving to make a move. I mean, what's going to change? Who could come on the scene in the next 30 days? It's really what it is, isn't it? Because we're almost done with October. So what new could be out there? You know the basic things that you're looking for. You want to spend the two picks, get Heald and Turner. You want to take just a bunch of contracts, and maybe you don't even have to give them a pick, and you can take Rozier and Hayward. You know, I mean, they're like $100 million between the two of them. It's $130 million between the two of them still left on their contracts. They could save over $100 million probably with Russ, trading for Russ. MJ, you know, that's like getting another Nike contract for MJ, you know. Well, probably not that good, but $100 million is a lot of money to save in salaries on a trade, especially if Miles Bridges has undercut the future of that franchise. Mel's hurt. I don't know how long he's going to be out. The Lakers just need to do something, and for me, it was a disappointing game, but it was a game again where there were times when I thought the Lakers came back great. I love the way they finished the first half, same way they finished the second half, the first half of the last game. And I thought they came out and played a great third quarter. You know, they're just not as good as the other team, man. And the other team is a better shooting team, and that's really what happened at the end. So, you know, it just reinforces the fact that the difference between this team that we've got right now, the roster we have right now, and the roster we had last year is that this is a younger roster that they don't have the ability to elevate LeBron, to complement LeBron and AD enough, primarily because of the shooting and size. But they play a lot better defense, and the losses, we're in these games. It's not like we're getting blown out by 20 and 30 the way we were last year, where it was just feeling hopeless, you know. What feels hopeless about it, the situation now, is that we're actually playing really pretty well and not winning, you know. It's as opposed to playing terrible and not winning. But we're still making, these are still winnable games, you know, one or two times out of 10 probably. And we just haven't been able to hit the jackpot on those one or two times where your shooting is on, or somebody's having a career game, you know, or something like that. But I remain positive that there are trades out there, and there are more than one team that wants one of those golden Lakers post LeBron and post AD first round unprotected draft picks.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. Well, so you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix.
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Also here today to talk about this game, unfortunately, with the Lakers, unfortunately, still losing. Again, execution down the stretch and execution in the half court, still getting the Lakers, plus also trying to box out. They were undersized, undermanned, as, again, unfortunately, as only they can. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break, and here today to talk about this game as far as what went on with 111-102 as far as the loss is concerned. Good man indeed. He's the madman from Toronto, getting out of Toronto traffic. He's the magic man, Sean Grice. And Sean, before I mute myself, wanted to go ahead and wish you well. Thanks so much for joining us. Your thoughts on today's game and, unfortunately, the fact that we just don't have enough offense or talent to go ahead and get the job done right now.
Well, thank you again for having me, Gerald. And admittedly, looking at the team stats once again, you're right. You set it off the top of the show. We just find new ways to lose. This is, I understand the efforts there, especially when you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole like the one we've created for ourselves. But the fact remains that the group that is assembled right now is just not good enough. They're not going to be good enough Sunday. They're not going to be good enough the game after that. And admittedly, I'm guessing off the top of my head where the first win is going to come from, because I don't know. What's troubling to me is you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And the last 2 years, it's just been the same thing. It's the same problem. We don't have shooters, we don't have defenders, and we don't have size. It's the same problem Pelinka created when he dismantled our championship squad, and he hasn't been able to pivot himself back in the right direction. And like Tom said, is anybody checking to see if he's MIA? Like, is his office in El Segundo just boarded up at this point? It seems to me that after Sunday, which, by the way, please, Jeannie, and please, Rob, don't literally, and I'm not trying to be funny here with a pun, don't rob Mr. Mikan of his honor on Sunday. It's well overdue. He deserves the night for himself. But after that, somebody has to come forward when they're 0-6 and put a face on this and take some responsibility.
But also here to take responsibility for himself and his five things, a good man indeed. It is also Jamie Sweet. Jamie, great to have you here, my friend. Thanks so much again, Sean. Appreciate joining us, and Laker Tom. Also, I got Joe Soro on tap. You know he's got a lot to say, but first, it is Jamie Sweet. Of course, Yami Swoot, Mr. Five Things. I guess Yami Swoot has caught on. Is it trending worldwide on Twitter as of yet?
Listen, man, that's been going for a while. It's my lighting designer moniker. He's a Swedish-born lighting designer from Sweden.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough indeed. But your thoughts on the game, to me, again, it's just not being able to generate much in the half court, just not being able to shoot well enough. You know, just they are a losing team, and they're certainly playing up to that billing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that Magic Man used the Ann Richards quote in his analysis, because I dropped that same quote in my Fiverr a couple days ago after the Denver game, which is, it's, you can put lipstick on a pig and call it, I forget the name she calls it, but it's still a hog, or some variation thereof, but Sean got it right. And look, the writing was on the wall after preseason last year, and people can talk themselves into anything. But if you're paying attention during preseason this season, paying attention last season, this isn't a team that can execute in the half court. This team is grittier or guttier or plays harder, I guess, but without the skill or the talent to make it hold up in any meaningful way. And you're going to see that over and over and over again. We have a team of castoffs. We have a team of afterthoughts and secondhand players. And they're all playing prominent roles. But these are the tools we had to work with. You know, you can say it's not Russ's fault. It really isn't Russ's fault. It's not his fault that, you know, he signed a huge contract in his next to last season in OKC, and that's the contract that he's still getting paid today. And, you know, it's not his fault that he's a square wheel on a team that needs round wheels, or however you want to describe it. But it is everybody's fault for not figuring this out. And it's the person I've been blaming the most is Rob. He got an extension for the wonderful work he's done. And so this is going to go on for a while. I don't see Genie pulling the plug. I don't see Rob quitting. I wish he would. This team's going to be hard to watch this season. This team's going to be really hard to watch for 82 games. So people take a game or two off. Don't feel bad. It's really not worth your time. This is a bad team. It's a poorly thought out and poorly assembled team. And if the thought was, well, we can just make a trade and fix it, that's a bad strategy. You're relying on the generosity of another team. You're relying on the desirability of draft picks that are 5 and 7 years out, respectively. You're relying on the fact that it doesn't matter where we trade Russ, they're just going to buy him out anyway, and it doesn't matter. It'll all just get fixed with the trade is bad strategy. Because the truth is it won't. It won't get fixed with the trade. You bring in Buddy Hield, bring in Miles Turner. Maybe one of them plays when the game is on the line tonight. Maybe it's probably Turner for defense, right? In our defense first culture between Vogel and Ham. What does that change? What that still doesn't change the 6 other guys you're relying on, 5 other guys maybe, who can't put the ball in the basket, who can't make a fundamental lead the break pass, who can't do basic basketball things. They can do a basketball thing, maybe 2. There are no complete players on this team outside of Russ, AD, and LeBron. The rest are projects and guys who couldn't find a deal somewhere else. Last year, you had the ring chaser team, a bunch of old guys who ran out of gas every single game. You saw it coming every single game. Other teams would step on the gas and just outspeed us, outplay us, outgun us. This year, we're stepping on the gas, but we're like a car. We're like, you know, it's like a 15-year-old driver with their learner's permit. The car just kind of swerves all over the place and crashes into a wall. And then we go, wow, who saw that coming? Anybody who's ever seen a 15-year-old drive should see that coming. So, you know, Rob's the wrong man for the job. He lucked into COVID-19, and that's where we're at. That's where this is at. We're at a bad place as a franchise, in my opinion, because I don't see a way out. Even if you make a trade, like let's just say in 2 weeks or a week or tomorrow, tomorrow we trade for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. I don't see a third team getting involved for the number of assets that we have, which is not enough to involve a third team. It's not going to work. We lack the grease to make that kind of trade work. It's not going to happen. So now you're talking about 2 guys when you need 4 or 5, like Tom said. Tom's right. We're 4-ish guys short of a real basketball team. And we've seen it every single night. It's not like, oh, this was a one-off or preseason was an aberration.
I told you the depth on this team was horrible. Oh, probably the worst in the league.
I doubt anybody disagree with you. I don't want to fault these guys for not trying. Tom's right. They played hard, and that's great. We saw the team kind of give up in games last season, and I consider that to be a more egregious offense for a professional athlete. But that the fault isn't on the players, and I don't blame Ham either. He's trying to make a delicious sandwich out of turds and bucket lids. Nobody wants to eat a turd and bucket lid sandwich. Nobody. And it's not going to work on a basketball court. And so our turd and bucket lid sandwich is not going to do very well this whole season. You know, though, they might win 20 games. I'm calling 20 games right now. With a trade, that maybe goes up to 25, 30. Still 3 games fewer than last season, and that's not the play-in. That's not the play-in. The play-in that LeBron ridiculed and is now banking his late-stage career on every season. And so this is why you don't anger the basketball gods, point number two. Don't anger the basketball gods. Don't try to tell people or don't try to pretend that this is working, Laker front office. Don't come out on media day and tell the fans what they deserve. The fans,
well, like Sean said, or like Sean indicated, I'm waiting to see what happens on Sunday when they try.
They're not going to say anything. There will be nothing. They're not gonna rain on the George Mikan parade. They're gonna retire the jersey.
The fans will boo. The fans will boo if Jeannie or Rob steps out on there.
They won't. They won't. It won't be Jeannie or Rob.
If anyone shows up,
no. It'll be Magic or Kareem or yeah. Worthy or Ori or Derek Fisher.
Ori can't talk.
I hope
it's Derek Fisher.
It'll be the ultimate company man.
Derek Fisher.
It'll probably be Fisher, but it doesn't matter. It won't be either one of them.
But they're not going to make that call. I have to see that one.
No, they don't have the stone to come out and face the fans.
I don't know if they have that. They're not smart for that one.
They don't have the stone to come out and face the fans, and so it'll be a company man, and that's fine. Listen, it's nice that they're retiring George Mikan's jersey. He's one of the foundational players in the league. This changes nothing. It changes nothing that we have an inept man running the team. You know what I was thinking today? You look at other teams, and you know where the fault lies. Bob Myers is in charge of Golden State. There's no question about that. Sure, the LaCobb family pays the bills. Bob Myers has great communication with Steve Nash, and they run that team. There's no question about it. Sean Marks, for better or worse, is running the Brooklyn Nets. There's no question about it. Kevin Durant tried to pull a LeBron and be like, I think this kind of stuff should happen this summer. And look, it got shoved right back in his face. And that's how you should run a team. You shouldn't run a team like you're an agent, trying to make everybody happy, trying to get everybody to do. Make it work. Do your job. Wow. As you can tell, I'm pretty disgusted with the state of things right now. This team is pissing me off this year. Everybody who likes this team, who has been watching this team their whole freaking lives, deserves better. They deserve better than this.
Well, I will say to USMC Semper Fi, he's usually not like this. He's usually the cheery one of the bunch giving us those funny analogies. And look at him. The way the team is performing is really even getting to him. That tells you right there. But also, if you want real, well, actually, I don't know if he's going to be angry because he's been so angry for so many weeks now. It's just kind of falling on, dark times for him. Good man indeed, however. You got to go ahead and check him out today at LakersBall.com. Plus, get your lawn transformed if you're in the Southern California area today at SimBlades with a Y.com. It is Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947. Laker Tom did have to depart for the evening, but we truly appreciate him contributing. And after a game like this, I guess pretty much said and gone right there for you. But my friend, again, we've come to a situation where the Lakers just don't have enough to win basketball games.
If those who watch the show are going to learn anything in life, this is probably a good spot for a sports show, because I always like to equate life experiences into the sports experience. Because in a lot of ways, these guys are living that real life. Jeannie, Rob, Darvin Ham, LeBron, you know, this is real life to them. So it's relevant. I was reading a quote that Blue Magic wrote, 10 minutes ago. I have it right here. He had said, Darvin Ham, supposed new leader of our team, it's still early. We're still figuring it out. We're going to continue to work hard. That could be interpreted in so many different angles. I've already heard Darvin Ham's spiel. I heard it the first or second preseason game. We are going on almost a month with one win. Okay? One win. And is it gonna take 0-20 before he starts panicking? Is he the type of guy that's gonna panic? Am I still on here, G?
Yep, you're still on, my friend. You're good.
I just wanted to make sure. So it's I'm trying to say this. I'm trying not to repeat myself here, so I'm gonna go with what I've assessed.
Hey, we got another visitor. Oh, look who's here. Oh my gosh, Joe. You know, they just never stop.
What am I missing here?
Sexchat69.site.
Oh, he showed up? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was down in Blue Magic's thing.
Yeah.
Oh, how you doing, Sexchat69? Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. Gotta go. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. So.
Wait. Where are the hot girls? I don't even see them.
Didn't even provide a link.
Those guys
for
are catfishing. They're not. They're not hot girls. They're actually hot guys with beards. So Darvin Ham is continuing this lackluster, leaderless dialogue. Something, and we would have been mean because everybody wants to be nice. Everybody wants to, you know, hope, right? And that, and you know, we all fall into that. But the reality is, I'm only doing that for show. When I get off air, there is no there. Usually, only takes one thing for you to do to know who you to for me to know who you are. Darvin Ham is a non-factor in this team, and he will be a non-factor. I see a future in him, maybe getting another job somewhere, but not likely going to be the standard in terms of head coach somewhere. So he's out the door. As far as I'm concerned, this constant dialogue over the last month, I don't see anything positive there. He hasn't implemented
any, knew this. Paul called this.
He hasn't implemented any kind of offense that's going to take advantage of a little bit of something with this team. And don't tell me that there's no talent on this team. You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on this team. You should be able to do something with those guys. They're practically top 10 players if they're playing in a game. So, Darvin Ham, God, we've been talking about Rob. We've been talking about Genie. We know what their capabilities are, and their capability is just like Sean was saying. We don't even know if Rob is alive right now. For all we know, he's hanging somewhere, and no one's checked up on him on a welfare check. Genie is probably in some room, probably crying about some drapes or something. God knows what the hell she's doing. LeBron James, this is probably the first time I honestly can say I really feel bad for this guy. And not just this season. An epiphany hit me today while I was watching, because I saw him do this. I saw him get to the hole, and it was this one play, I think it was in the third quarter, to Wayne, to Gabriel. And it was one of those things where, and I might be overlooking this, but he didn't have to give it to the guy, you know? But he gave it to him because this was probably Gabriel's best game ever, right? And he just wanted to probably keep him, just do something to enhance something, you know? And I'm going, the Cleveland Cavaliers, to some degree, the Miami Heat, they have done just such a disservice in the inability to create the perfect team for LeBron. Because I believe every great, whether it's Kareem, whether it's Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, you know, Tim Duncan, those guys at some point in their career had the perfect team. The perfect team for their at some point in their prime. I can honestly say I think the closest team LeBron had to a perfect team was probably the 2020 Lakers. I know some will argue 2016, but that was a team of that was just the year they won a championship. They won in 2012. They won in 2013. But there was never this like dominance from beginning to end, where a team was just meant to play for LeBron James or to enhance his skill set. And if anything, he's had the worst of any superstar I've ever had. You build a team for LeBron James with no shooters. I mean, you might as well have built Shaq with no one being able to distribute the ball down low to him. I mean, that's really what it would be. No one can get Shaq the ball. That's how you constructed that team. But in LeBron's terms, you give him a team where he has no shooters. You have nothing. And then you keep hearing these things like, we're playing hard and we're doing this hard. And hard what? What are you talking about? What does that even mean? If you're a true leader, why don't you just say something that can at least give me some respect, give you some respect? You know what? We suck. Do some Jim Moore action. Do something. You know, we absolutely stink. Until we start shooting better, this is not going to change. I mean, what are you worried about, Darvin? You got a guaranteed contract. If you get fired after 20 games, you're going to be sitting at home making money. It's just, I'm watching this game, and I'm sorry to Tom, in terms of his positiveness in certain parts of the game. I can't, guys. This every game seems like the same damn game. This one just lasted a little bit longer, but it's the same game. Game in, game out. LeBron is just absolutely, he's going to flame out here probably by December. His ankle, his hamstring, his ear, his hair, whatever's left of it, is going to finally say, all right, I got to take a break because I can't keep carrying this anymore. And we got nothing, guys. We got nothing. And it's just tragic. We don't really have a solution after this year. There's nothing. What are we going to get in the offseason? These guys have no, I'm look at us. We're the Laker fans. We're
out of the frying pan and into the fire, my friend.
We're the Laker fans. We're the ones that want to hope and do great. But then when you get to the realistic side of things, What team in the NBA is gonna do anything for us or try to make anything work to where it's even? They just want to fleece this team. So not only do you suck at your job, you have the teams out there that are not going to do jack squat for you. And mind you, jack squat means usually two teams try to make things even for both teams. Teams that trade with the Lakers or do anything with Lakers don't want an even trade. They want the Lakers to dissolve in acid. And of course, you have a former agent who's in charge. There's a reputation there. You had the number one Laker ever. I mean, you can argue Kobe is 1 and 1A with Magic, who said that these guys backstabbed him. How's that going to go around the league when Magic Johnson is one of the most respected, most guiding light in sports in the whole world? How's that going to work? Doesn't look good. And we keep talking about the bubble. We keep talking about 2 years ago, which I swear feels like 5 years ago. Doesn't it feel like 5 years ago? I can't believe it. It's still October, guys. We won a championship 2 years ago. And I get stuck sometimes when that comes to the realization that it was 2 years ago, because now I'm feeling like, Are we just entitled a-holes? We just won a championship 2 years ago, and we're Jamie's like, we deserve better. And I'm sitting there like, I get what Jamie's saying, but I'm like, I wonder what the Kings think. What about the Pacers? What about Orlando? What do they think? They probably look at us and go, you, man, we haven't won jack anything. What are you worried about? You won one 2 years ago. Just absolutely terrible. And I think the hard part for me is I didn't want to watch the game tonight. I watch it because we have to entertain our people, and I have to know what's going on. I can't just watch the box score like 90% of the Yahoos who think they know sports until I come in the room and say, well, that's wrong. And they can't do anything because I know what's up. This year in sports has been just abysmal. I can't even, I don't know what to do. I have so many other things I can do that are productive. Boy, I just wasted a whole year watching baseball. And I am not going to make that mistake again. And if it wasn't for this show, I don't think I'd be catching these games on a regular. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am thankful that you are still catching the games because we always love to hear your opinion. And the crowd also does as well. I do want to mention, as we continue the Lakers fast break, before we head on out and before we get the last thoughts from these guys, before we head on out, because we are going to cut it down a little bit early, so I do apologize for that. Although, you know, we go an hour long, which is still more than most of the Laker podcasts that are out there. So for us, this is kind of short, but thank you so much for watching and listening. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do so. It gives us all kind of love and support that we truly need. I do want to mention that there was a shocking release by the San Antonio Spurs on a player, Josh Primo, who was the first round draft pick for them at number 12 last year. Unfortunately, he was waived today with still years on his contract. He actually had 2 years remaining on his contract. Unfortunately, he was waived, but I guess it was dealing with a previous trauma that he suffered. He made an official statement that's on Twitter. He's dealing with mental health issues, so dealing with a previous trauma that he suffered. So he's going to take time right now to go ahead and focus on that. So I wish him the best. I wish this young man, especially at 19, to
already Hold on a second. Mental health issue. Do you really think that Popovich and the Spurs, being the class organization they are just going to drop this guy because of some mental health issue?
He said they had a previous trauma.
I want you all to get used to this. People are going to make bonehead decisions, and they're going to use mental health as an excuse. When there are people out there that have actual mental health issues, clinical mental health issues, and those are going to be marginalized because of crap like this. I guarantee you, Greg Popovich is the most sensitive guy you'll ever meet in your life in the NBA. For them to drop him the way they did with his talent, something bad happened. This is not a mental health issue. Come on, man. This is ridiculous.
He didn't specify the previous trauma that has been affecting him. So I don't know what that is. We don't know the whole story. So I want to at least give some type of
first answer. Always. It's always that now. It's always that excuse. It can't be. Never mind.
It must have been something serious for them to go ahead and again, that, you know, they're eating 2 years of the, you know, next 2 years.
They're eating talent. They just threw away talent. You don't do that. If he had done something that was, you know, let's say detrimental to team policy, they would have traded him. But this is bad. Something happened bad. It might have been drugs. I think BDA just mentioned it. If it was, you know, meth or something, I guess that would make sense too.
Again, maybe the real story will come out in the wash. We're not sure, but I just wanted to mention that because I know it's been all over Twitter today in regards to that. Primo probably pushed Pop or something. You know, I thought it might have been a Pop issue. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We'll see. But I do want to go ahead and get actually Sean Greisen here. Sean, before we head on out, do you have any thoughts on this situation? Let me go ahead and mute everybody and let you go ahead and rock and roll on what your thoughts on this. And also, any thoughts on Russell Westbrook? Because again, 6-17, he had that one stretch in the second quarter where it started to look like his old self. Then at all the declining returns from there, unfortunately, there was not much left to offer for him as far as what was going on. And again, just not enough for LeBron to go ahead and get the game done and actually win the game outright.
Look, I come from a military family. My brother's in the Canadian military right now. My grandfather and uncle served in World War II. My other uncle's in the Navy. It's a history, and it's a calling, and it's not for everybody. And normally when you hear the Heat culture, the Spurs culture, that's not a slogan. That they've actually built up a culture, and a lot of it is militaristic. You have to be of a certain temperament. You have to be of a certain demeanor. You have to carry yourself a certain way. And if you don't, or if you can't, you are exiled. Here's what is preached with both of those teams. The team matters more than the individual. You hear that over and over again with both of those franchises. The team matters more than the individual. So if you're an individual and you feel different, i.e. Kawhi, you're exiled. Dennis Rodman, you're exiled. That's just the way it is. I'm with you, Gerald. I'm with Joe. It smells like a rat. When it smells, it smells. And I smell a rat too. There's something not quite right here. I think eventually it'll come to light. But I think with a team like this, they keep everything very close to the vest. They don't really let things leak. I also wanted to just comment on Russell Westbrook and just the team overall right now. Our friend Richard has a comment here. This team is really bad and might have to blow it up. Look, I understand if some Lakers fans want to come to that perception that somehow because we see the inevitable, which is just pure anarchy, that if we just blow it up right now, that somehow it'll ease the situation. That's not an answer. This team is controlled. Its fate is controlled by the New Orleans Pelicans over the next two seasons. The Lakers aren't in a position to be incentivized to tank. That's not what the primary, secondary, tertiary objectives should be. They should be trying to win as many games as possible in order to try and derail the Pelicans' fate that they hold in the palm of your hands. But you're making it easier for them right now by playing so poorly. And you can't blow it up because right now, Anthony Davis is shooting less than 17% on jumpers. That includes mid-range and long distance. So basically from 16 feet out, he's shooting less than 20%. If you were going to trade Anthony Davis is the player where you could accumulate picks for. LeBron, not so much. A team isn't going to surrender an unprotected first-round pick for LeBron. I don't even think you could get one for him. Even though he's a legacy player and might have a lot in the tank, I don't think a team would give you an unprotected first for him. I think you could get one or two if Anthony Davis is playing at his optimal level. But he's not. And I've mentioned this before. If now is this time in his life where his athleticism has basically leveled out, then he's no longer a special player. That's what made him special. His ability to leap, his ability to recover, his ability to make an 18-footer about 50% of the time. If he cannot do those three things anymore on a consistent level, he's no longer a special player. And like somebody else had said, if he continues down this path, I don't think he'll be a starter in 3 years. I think he'll be relegated to the bench. I think people really need to contemplate that his athleticism has waned now. It's leveled out, and we're going to have to deal with those consequences as well.
I will actually kind of disagree with you. Yeah, his mid-range shot might be shot. And of course, his 3-point shot has always been shot, but the dude is still hitting 52% from the field, which means in close, he's been very good. And plus the fact that he is still, when he's healthy or when he decides to go ahead and get out of the street close, he is actually averaging still, 24 points a game?
Too many ifs.
Nine rebounds a game.
Sean put it best.
Inside, he's still
going to be capable. He's going to be all-star capable.
I didn't say he was. I didn't say this is 2020 bubble.
Just kidding.
I'm going to argue with. I didn't say this is.
No, you didn't pay attention to what Sean said. He's not a special player right now.
Oh no, he's not a special
player.
Yeah, but he's not a top 20 player. I know. I get that, but he's still a very
No, not even that. Not even that. No, I'm talking MVP of the league. I was expecting an MVP.
Well, that's when he came to the LA. Bubble. Well, out of the bubble, that's what everybody's.
The bubble, he got gypped out of the defensive player of the year that year. I think if it wasn't for COVID, I think he would have won it because he was.
Yeah, I know. Pass the baton. Unreal that year. Yes, I know. Yeah. Pass the baton.
But MVP, LeBron, I was expecting MVP AD.
Well, that's gone. That's gone.
And then he's not special. It's
and
over.
You said we were going to give him one season. Well, it's not quite that over, but I am beginning to think that the trade Anthony Davis rumors should start to fly now. I think that's something that they have to look at, start rebuilding the team. Because, again, you're looking at that side. I'm still looking as far as the good side, as far as the 24 points a game, 2.5 blocks per game, the 8 rebounds. The inside shooting is still efficient enough to make up for the mid-range and the three-point shooting. So I'm still that could be attractive enough to a buyer to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and or another team to go ahead and trade for something decent that the Lakers could get in return. So that's all I'm trying to say is that he's not the MVP candidate that he thought we were going to be coming out of the bubble. He's not going to be that player. He looks like he's never going to be that player. And again, with all these injuries and all these things that just seem to push him back further and further and further, I think it's now time, Joe, that I'm getting off the wait for AD for an entire season train. I think I'm going to go ahead.
So you do agree with Sean then?
I do agree with Sean that we should trade him, but I don't agree with it. He's just like, he is just that, you know, the way Sean was describing
it. Sean said he's not special if he doesn't do what he was supposed to do.
But he's still doing decent numbers.
No,
he's
decent's not good enough.
I know, not for this special team. Not for this team.
You're
going to
agree with
that.
Me whether you like it or not.
No, I am not going to agree with you 100%, but you're going to agree with me that he should be. No, I'm
there you go.
just to our listening audience, just wanted to let you know, Joe and I have been throwing headsets right now. That's why everybody's laughing. But
well, also you need to
I
let
think
them
he should
know
be
that
traded. I really felt, tonight convinced me him not being there when they needed him the most. I think he needs to be traded. And just simple as that.
I'm not going that far yet.
I am.
I just thought, and you know, sometimes that's why it's good to talk to other professionals like yourselves. I think the way he articulated, the way Sean articulated the special part, it was like a click. It was like, yep.
And I think LeBron could get you a first-round draft pick. I still think LeBron could get you. But he's not going to be traded because he's going after the scoring title.
He's never going to be traded.
He's never going to get traded.
No, he's not. No. Just stop. Just stop.
Yeah, yeah
just,
no. Lakers don't. Yeah. You have he's to not be traded.
It's already hard enough to watch the actual games, but when people come up with these ludicrous scenarios,
he's not going to be traded. He's not going
to
be traded.
This is worse than when there were people were saying Durant was coming to LA. I'm like,
Three things are true. LeBron's not getting traded as a Laker ever. They're never going to trade him. They want it, whatever.
Unless
whatever.
He wants to, unless he asks for.
Nope. Nope. I doubt even then because they want that Laker jersey has to be next to that number in the record books. That's the end of that's what this is about for the next three seasons. That's what this is about. Unless somebody great shows up at the doorstep and is like, all right, we'll play for you guys for $30 million next year.
And we're about Who's to have that? A lock. We're going no, to have a lockout in 2 years.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're going to have there'll be a threat of a lockout. And there will be an agreement that there will be a hard cap in the NBA finally. And then that'll spread. That will pretty much kaput the old Laker way of building a team. Now you're going to need to either manage your free agent signing or draft studs. Welcome to the NFL. NBA is going to turn into the NFL. Already is. The parity is there. No one knows who's going to win the championship this year. That's not normal in the NBA, and it's been like
that. But that's good for the NBA.
I don't think it's good for the NBA, and I'll tell you why. Dynasties made the NBA. teams made the NFL. This is a different sport. You need superstars. You dynasties, Jordan, Magic, Kareem, Bird, Kobe, Duncan. These are the guys that brought up the NBA, not Chauncey Billups and the Detroit Pistons, okay? Not that 1 year where Dwayne Wade and won in 06 or Dirk in 11. No.
But now's the guys that move the needle, superstars.
The guys that move the needle are Steph Curry and the Warriors. Look what they did, right? These are the guys that move it in the NBA. I think it's a giant mistake, but it's going to happen. I think it's a giant mistake that they've made it difficult for teams because of all the – this is too much – people are constantly not just sticking with certain things. One little thing gets swerves this way, they got to adjust with it. Why don't you just let it be on certain things? Let it be. Why do you have to change everything every time someone complains? Back in the 90s, you guys are going to agree with me here for sure, especially you, Gerald. See that? Mine's bigger than yours. Okay? In the 90s, they used to say, when they were fighting, they're like, these guys are fighting. Why are these guys fighting? This is not a street fight. And then 20 years later, you cough on someone and it's a technical two. The NBA soft? Well, you a-holes were complaining in the 90s when Derek Harper was throwing the Miami Heat players all over the place. And now look at this. Now you throw somebody, now you're going to play baseball. You're not going to play basketball anymore.
That's the Joe we all know and love. Sean, I know you want to add something in here, so let me mute everybody and we'll get you going on it. And then go ahead and then Jamie and Joe will share their final thoughts before we head on out.
Joe, man, he hit a lot of points there, and we only got about a few minutes here, so I can only go with one of them. I agree with him. The hard cap's coming. There's no question about that. It's going to be a reality, whether the PA likes it or not. Unfortunately, in the past, I've been involved in union negotiations. And let me tell you something. Usually all it takes is one anomalous case to kind of tip the scales to favor one side over the other. And the NBA has three right now. They've got the Ben Simmons situation. They have the James Harden situation, and they also have the Kyrie situation. The owners have three legitimate grievances here that they can hold against the PA. And the PA is kind of over a barrel here because, one, Simmons settled with the 76ers, so that's really not going to – they don't get any brownie points for that in negotiations, especially if there's an arbiter involved. Two, Harden played games with three franchises, and now the Brooklyn Nets have to basically pray to the gods that somehow they avoid a situation like the Lakers. But, of course, they're facing down the barrel in about a year or two, the same exact situation. Three, Kyrie. Kyrie decides whether he's going to play or not based on, I don't know, the wind. He's just all over the place. And the hard cap is going to be a reality whether they like it or not. And they could thank those three gentlemen for it because they're going to be the reason why there's ultimately a hard cap.
Thank you so much, Sean. I appreciate it as always. It's the Madman, the Magic Man from also as well, the Toronto. It is Sean Grice. Sean, thank you so much for being part of today's show. Want to give you a big shout out. Appreciate it. Hopefully you'll be able to join us on Sunday. We will be back on Sunday, of course. But before we head on out, I do have Mr. Jamie Sweet, Yami Swoot, the man behind five things at LakerHolics.com, where Laker Tom, who was here earlier today, he had to go ahead and rush off as well Friday night. You know, he probably had some club he had to go ahead and, you know, hang out at or something like that, you know. That's Laker Tom for you. But before we head on out, Jamie Sweet, any last thoughts on tonight's game or what we can expect for Sunday's game? Maybe a turnaround, maybe a win for us, possibly?
No. No, I think you're going to see more of the same. Look, there's the problem. You just can't gloss over the problems. They're just too glaring. You know, it was one thing when, like, it was one thing when we had at least guys on the team. I wish we had kept at the very least, I wish we had kept Carmelo Anthony from last season, because you need a guy who just doesn't care. He's just going to shoot. And Patrick Beverley is like that on defense. But you watch these guys, you watch Russ and LeBron collapse the defense over and over and over. And they kick it out to a guy who's got daylight. And that guy does this and starts to, I don't want to shoot it. I'm not shooting well. I'm thinking about it.
I saw Pat Bev do that plain as day. He was wide open for three and
called
the ball.
Laker.
AD does it. Everybody
anus-itis.
Does it.
It's a new word.
It's
Lakers anus-itis.
Is that a real? Is that?
It's real. It's real. You go look at the stats. Go ahead, Jenny. Finish up.
Thank you, Dr. Joe Soro. Dr. Joe Soro, appreciate it.
I might have to get myself checked for that. Maybe I don't know. I'm not sure. I should consult my clinical medical professional. My point is this, look, it's going to be, we've seen it. We know it.
I'm thinking of that scene in Fletch, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. That's a classic, baby.
Moon River. Get your whole fist up there, Doc.
You went
Moon
right past.
Moon River.
You went right past the 90s into the early 80s, late 70s. I'm not sure.
I love that film.
Late 70s, I want to say. But maybe early 80s. Point being, there's no glossing over the fact that we're playing seven guys who would be the 12th, 13th, 14th man on a championship roster in major roles. You can replace two of those guys and lose Russ, and you're creating basically the same situation. Buddy Hield's a better three-point shooter than Pat Beverley or Russell Westbrook or whatever, but he doesn't play defense. Miles Turner isn't a great three-point shooter. He can shoot threes, but he won't do it good, and he certainly won't do it well here. And he won't do it when we need him to, because it's unlikely he'll be on the floor when the game matters, because we'll go with guys who are, I don't know, I just don't trust anything. And all the moves at this point, I'm not impressed with, and I'm suspicious of the motivation behind them. I consider this to be a brand management season. They're just managing the brand. They're not managing the team. Everybody comes out and says all the right things. Their actions prove otherwise. I go off of what people do, not what they say. And we're just going to see a lot more of this all season long. And so I don't know what people, I don't understand the level of expectation, I guess. I've come into every game trying to find a level of expectation. And every game I just watch the same. I mean, did anybody notice that JTA didn't play tonight? Exactly.
Yeah.
Did anybody notice when Wendy and Gabriel wasn't getting minutes? No. It doesn't matter. Nobody on the team outside of LeBron and AD. And I was just making a list of guys who I consider to be better than AD. I got to 10 pretty quickly, and I went past 10.
I could get to 20. I just said
he might be able to get to 20. I mean, he's got
to get to 20.
I think we could get to 20. So if you don't have a top 20 guy next to LeBron for that amount of money, and Russ isn't on that list either, by the way. So you got two guys.
I could get to 100.
No, come on.
Maybe two.
No, now you're just being absurd. Now you're just, and you're taking up your own time. You're the one who's got somewhere to go. You're the one who's got a time constraint.
All right.
Uh-huh. See, now I gotta start all over. So anyway, when I was 12, I wanted to. Anyway, yeah, hold on. Let's all do this to Gerald. Come on, Gerald. Anyway, my point is that don't. It's like by the time I got to the third Star Wars movie, the prequels, the three that Lucas directed, I went in with negative expectation, and I enjoyed the movie a lot. And so I would just recommend to everybody this season, expect to lose, and then be happily surprised should that not come to pass.
Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out? This was, again, another disappointing performance, and hopefully that the Lakers can turn around on Sunday, but we're starting to lose a little hope here from what I'm hearing.
What happened tonight happened, and I'm happy it did on the show. We talked about some relevant information instead of the lousy trash bin of a team that the Lakers are. And I have to say, first of all, between Sean is special comment about AD hitting it out of the park with a grand slam and Jamie getting angry, this is probably the best show I've ever been on.
Sometimes that's all it takes. That's
and then, of course, takes. You know, Gerald,
yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, I get the fingers. I get the fingers.
The show.
But I get the fingers. I get the fingers
pointed. It's Rob Van Dam time.
Yes.
It's Rob Gerald Van Dam time.
Van
I think you should just need to change your name to Gerald Van Dam.
Oh my gosh. I gotta change it to something. That's for sure. But it is the Lakers fast break. Once again, the Lakers do fall in Minnesota, 111-102. We will be back for more pain on Halloween's Eve. That's right. Sunday, we're going to be back. Once again, the Lakers do play Denver at home at 6:30. Will their fortunes change? We'll find out. We'll wait and see. If you have any questions for us, always at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Plus also as well, you can go ahead and put your comments. Even after we go off the air, we do try to answer them between Joe, Sean, myself, and Jamie. We try to go ahead and check it out. Blue Magic and Petting My Cat are already predicting 0-6, and I'm not going to go against those predictions, that's for sure. And I'm here in Vegas, so there's no way I'm going to do that. But we do want to go ahead and make sure you go ahead and check. Yeah, Paul, we were waiting for you. We were waiting for you to go ahead and join us. We were actually mentioned you earlier this evening. We knew you were going to go ahead and tell us to fire Ham. And we're not exactly disagreeing with you at this point because
fiery.
Yep, absolutely. Fiery indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Please go ahead and join us for our Halloween Eve special after the game on Sunday. Going to be around 9 p.m. Pacific. So hopefully even people on the East Coast will go ahead and check us out. It'll be the fun time. Oh, there you go. Scary. He's already getting into the Halloween spirit. Joe, have you decided on a costume for Sunday's show?
No. Okay. I'm 44 years old. What are you talking about?
That's part of the fun, my friend. Fun. It's good, man. It's
good. It's good. What do I lose a tooth? I get a money under my pillow now, or what? What's going on here? I'm a grown ass man. I don't get dressed up.
It's called team participation.
Oh, I'm all about team, but I'm no.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to see if some of us other individuals at the Lakers Fast Break might be in some type of costume, hopefully on Sunday. Hopefully you'll be part of what we're doing on Sunday too. We truly appreciate, again, you watching and listening. If you get a chance, please go ahead and subscribe below Jamie Sweet. That's Yami Sweet. Just go ahead, subscribe below him right now. Go ahead and help us out. And if you do, it is sincerely appreciated. Everybody who's listening out there in audio and wherever you get your podcast, big shout out to you. You hit a big number for us earlier this week with the Portland game. So thank you so much. Joe is he is just so happy that we're one of the top basketball shows in the Philippines. So we truly appreciate everyone out there in the Philippines. Big shout out to you. Salamat, as they say. So once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. Paul Terry says, Gerald, I'm looking for a Palinka costume.
Ooh, that might be a good one.
There's a joke in there somewhere. So
I'm going to come Sunday as Palinka.
Okay, fair enough. See, we did something. Paul, you hit it right on the head. There you go. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We're going to try and have a good show on Sunday, regardless of the result. And you know, if there is a bad result, we're still going to let you know anyway. So we truly appreciate you, again, you watching and listening. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back on Sunday night, right around 9 p.m. Pacific. Always, of course, right here. And we thank you again for checking us out. Hopefully the tides will turn and the Lakers will actually come up with a win on Sunday. We'll find out. Will it be a scary time for us? Or something different? Find out on Sunday night, right here at the Lakers.